everyone, and welcome to this special Flooshcast year in review edition of What's on Joe Mind. Normally, we're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, but we're breaking the mold a little today at the request of our good friends at the Flooshcast. This is the first time you're hearing us. I'm Gary, otherwise known as Commander-in-Chief. Joining me, he's a longtime Flooshcast listener, which inspired him to get into podcasting. Plus, he's known as Greg, but online he's known as Crosshair. He's our showrunner. Everyone say hi.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, Greg?
That was Chuck's robot voice.
Yeah. He might go silent on us again. He's a former Flooshcast guest and admin of GeneralJoes.com. You know him as General Hawk. We know him as Justin. Justin, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am beat from the last couple nights of recording, man, I'll tell you.
Don't blame you. You just gave me flashbacks to that four-hour Sigma 6 show I did, and I started getting cold sweats.
The one that you said that you will never get those 4 hours back.
Yeah, that was a fun time. It was good.
Well, it's about the only time that Sigma 6 will get considerable play in the next year or so.
Come on. Now, we're going to do it here. We're going to do it on What's on Joe Mind, whether you like it or not.
I'm okay with that.
Don't push your luck.
Don't push your luck, yeah. You know our last host online is ChuckDog1999, but on the program he's known as Chuck. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How are you?
Oh, well, like I said, you know, I'm beat, but, you know, when Craig calls and how nice he's been to the show and the fact that he's just, he's actually been kind of a fan favorite on the show, it's hard to say no to the guy. So we'll pull the equipment out one more time this week. We'll actually answer his question. Everyone feel ready?
Yeah, let's do this. Ready.
We were asked four very simple questions. What was your best, what was your worst, and what was your most surprising figures of 2011? And they need not be Joe, so actually, Chuck, you can talk about Transformers. As for a follow-up, what are you looking most forward to toy-wise from 2012? Greg?
So my best figure of the year would be the 30th anniversary G.I. Joe Lifeline figure. I had the original as a kid, or the mail-away version of the original, and as an updated version of that, I think Hasbro knocked it out of the park. Just the figure itself is well done, but the accessories especially push it over the top. I mean, he comes with a backboard to put a figure on, and then his case full of the paddles and the oxygen mask and the assault rifle, and just everything he comes with is just all around a great figure. Worst of the year, and I'm not even sure if these came out this year. It might have been 2010, but I bought them in 2011, so we'll consider it part of 2011. But
is it that stretch of the rules?
Great team.
He did not specify.
That's true. It's true. It's the gray area. Go ahead.
The worst figures, I think, were the Halo Reach ones I picked up.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I think if as statues, they're great. But when you actually try to start doing anything with them, they just don't hold up very well. Like, they have so many points of articulation, but because they're hid by the armor, and they become redundant, essentially, and the range of motion on everything is just terrible. Like, the knees move about 20 degrees on a good day. The hands are a little undersized, but they don't hold the weapons at all, really. I mean, they really got to work with the figures in order to get them to do what you want. So I picked up a couple, and I was like, well, maybe I'll pick up a few more. And then after I got them, I regretted it because they look nice. But other than that, they're not action figures. They're just movable statues, essentially.
Yeah, and McFarlane toys at its best.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I remember picking up a couple of Spawn figures back in the day, and they were the same way, even though they only had like 5 points of articulation.
Right.
Now they give them like 16 or 20 or however many it is, and it's still kind of the same.
They still can't move, yeah.
More is not better.
Yeah, you got to execute. You can't just have a number.
Exactly.
And the most surprising figure I picked up this year was actually Transformers Cup. So back in March, there was kind of a lull of Joe stuff, so I started branching out in other areas, picking up different things. And someone at Joe Customs and also Craig actually recommended the Transformers Cup figure. And I picked him up, and I don't know what it is about him. He's like a mid-size figure, nothing special, but just the way he looks great in truck and alternative mode, or is it robot mode, I guess you call it. He just has a lot of personality, this sculpt. I think he stands really well. He looks good in action shots. And I never was really big into Transformers as a kid, but I was pretty happy with the pickup.
So how many jokes are there that there's like two Transformers and a cup joke?
Oh, dude, come on, man. Is the Flooshcast a family show?
No, they cuss more than us, and they don't bleep.
I don't think we need to go down that road, though.
actually, the trailer part of Cup's pickup truck could probably only hold about one Legends class figure.
All right. Thanks for that tidbit of information.
And what are you looking most forward to in 2012, Greg?
I would say it's got to be probably the G.I. Joe Retaliation figures. I mean, that's in vehicles. Mainly because I have no idea what's coming. A lot of the other figure lines, like Star Wars and stuff, that we've got a general idea of what's coming out in the next year. But with Retaliation, we really have no idea. So it's always kind of interesting to see how the movie figures are going to be. So it should be a good year for G.I. Joe, hopefully.
So in the interest of trying to keep our choices diverse a little bit, I went with a figure in the same wave as the 30th anniversary Lifeline, but I went with the 30th anniversary Airtight as my best figure of the year. For a lot of the same reasons, I think that Greg went with Lifeline, although at a little bit smaller scale. Airtight was a character I never really cared about back, you know, when I was a kid. He didn't really do anything for me, but Hasbro managed to reinvent him a little bit. They call him a Renegades Airtight figure, but it pretty much is a 30th anniversary Airtight. It kind of works in both ways. He's got the removal of a helmet, which is great. He's got a couple different backpacks. Got the classic backpack and kind of a newer oxygen tank backpack. He's got his familiar classic vacuum system, but he also comes with a shotgun. And he's the coolest thing about him is just he's almost cool because he can be bland. Like, you can take his gear off and he just looks like a normal hazmat guy. So you can kind of troop build him a little bit, put some other vests on him or something like that, and kind of create your own little squad of hazmat troopers, which is really cool. And he's really, really poseable. There's just something about this Airtight figure I can't really describe it. You get him in your hand and pretty much whatever pose you want to get him in, he just kind of flows into that pose and stays there. He's got nice mobility in his joints. He's just a very cool overall figure, even though he's a hazmat guy who's somebody I never really cared about. But Hasbro did an excellent job updating him and took somebody that was somewhat boring and made him into a really cool figure, especially when you mix and match him with the zombie vipers and stuff like that. So that's going to get my vote for best of 2011. For worst of 2011, now I apologize a little bit. I kind of cheated with my next two choices because I couldn't pick a specific figure out of these brands, but for the worst of 2011, I would have to say, without hesitation, it's Mattel's 4-inch Green Lantern movie figures. These things were absolutely putrid. They were putrid. I remember seeing I remember seeing those for the first time at Kmart way back when, just before the movie aired, and I'm kind of a comics junkie. I don't really buy the comics themselves, but I'm really into the comic movies. I like all the Marvel movies. I like the DC movies. So I was kind of interested in the whole Green Lantern phenomenon, and I picked these up and I looked at them and I just wanted to throw it in the trash. It was awful. And it makes me cry because you go into a Toys R Us or you go into a Walmart or you go into a Target and you just see pegs and pegs of these garbage Green Lantern figures, and there's like no G.I. Joe figures. You're like, come on, what are these people thinking? You're going to buy this non-articulated piece of junk for $9, or you're going to buy a really cool, really well-accessorized G.I. Joe figure for that price? It was just, it was pretty pathetic, the lack of effort that Mattel put into that line. As far as the most surprising, again, I did cheat on this one as well. I couldn't really focus on a single figure out of this particular line, so I just went with the 6-inch Bandai Thundercats line. Not really a huge Thundercats fan. I saw the stuff for the new animated series coming out. I thought it looked pretty interesting. So I figured, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'll pick up a 6-inch figure and, you know, I'll see how I like it. I picked up Panthro. Again, at the same Kmart I found those Green Lantern figures at, which is kind of weird. I picked up the Panthro. I brought him home, checked him out a little bit, and immediately told my wife, I said, I got to run a quick errand. And honey, and went back down and picked up the other 6-inch figures while I was down running my quote-unquote errand.
You're pitiful.
I'm pitiful, yes.
You at least should have brought her something home for that.
Are you kidding me? I do enough for that woman. I don't need you. Put a roof over her head. She should be happy about that.
Wow.
Closed.
I'm out in the garage. I'm safe and sound. Yep.
he provides food.
That's right. So yeah, that entire 6-inch line just blew me away because I had a feeling I'd kind of like the classic figures because of the old school animation stuff, but I ended up liking the new stuff even more. And that 6-inch line is just fantastic. The articulation, the accessories, it's great. It was definitely my most pleasant surprise of 2011. And now as far as looking forward to 2012, I mean, obviously, G.I. Joe Retaliation is going to be the obvious choice. I mean, it's the new G.I. Joe line. The movie trailer looked awesome. And I'm right there with Greg. It's really cool, you know, in the world of the internet where you know everything months and months in advance, it's really cool to kind of be in the dark still and really not know what you're expecting. You know, I'm sure we'll find out in Toy Fair in about 6 weeks. At this point, just really the imagination's going wild about all the different things they could be putting out, and I'm really excited to see what they do with that line. You know, there's other G.I. Joe offerings in 2012 as well, obviously the subscription figures, but you know, Retaliation, just the anticipation of the toy line reveal for that is what's got me going right now, so that's probably what I'm looking for most in 2012.
Okay, well, I guess it's up to me then.
Come on, Chuck, deliver.
All right, well, the best figure for me was Generations Warpath. This was a figure that there was like a lot of hype around, and usually when that happens with Transformers, the payoff isn't that great. You know, you also had a problem that due to distribution issues, this figure didn't show up on shelves for months, and in some areas, a year later that it was supposed to. But it's a solid figure, easy, intuitive transformation that's fun to do. It remains true to the original character in terms of looks and design. And, you know, it's fun, and it's a refreshing change from the movie figures and even some of the Generations figures that you need blueprints and an engineer's degree to transform. For worst, now, like Justin had the problem, I couldn't pick just one thing, because to be honest, I really didn't buy anything that bad, but I have to say the horrible distribution that was early in the year. After the holidays of 2010, stores were left with a glut of old product that was holding up newer product, as Greg mentioned, G.I. Joes, but also Transformers that were supposed to be out. And because of that, many waves never showed up when they were supposed to. And what we're seeing now is a lot of figures that were supposed to be on shelves last January, last March, ended up in Ross, TJ Maxx, and other discount stores. Eventually, it straightened itself out, but like I just said, it was over a year later. And I hope, and I think just going from this holiday season, we're past something like that happening again. The most surprising thing to me, again, it wasn't a particular figure or wave, but it was the fact that Bandai of America has decided to open up the U.S. market, I should say the North American market, to the SH Figure Arts and Figure Arts style of figures. Justin mentioned the Classics Thundercats. Well, they're 8 inches, but their design is heavily based on the Figure Arts over articulation. And then in their Power Rangers line, they actually repackaged and brought over 2 of the SH Figure Arts figures based on the Sentai Shinkenger. Now,
I don't have any idea what you just said, Chuck.
Shinkenger is the Japanese name for Power Rangers Samurai.
Craig would know. It's like this Robotech stuff.
I know. I've heard him talking about
See, I feel bad that Craig's not here with us because he would be going wrong. But, I mean, these are the best articulated 6-inch action figures in the world. And I found out through my sources that they also have the license to bring in Kamen Rider and another Japanese anime. And I'm going to say it right now that if we get Kamen Rider SH Figure Arts on American shelves, the best action figure line in America, period. Because even the worst Kamen Rider figure beats the best G.I. Joe figure any day of the week. Now, for most surprising, what I'm looking forward to in 2012, I'm actually going to be a little bit different than Greg and Justin, and I'm going to say the revival of the Marvel Legends line by Hasbro. Yes, from what we've seen, it's not going to be as hyper-articulated as it was in the past, but if they can keep the sculpting and detail up, and if they go forward with their plans of how they're going to handle repaints and variants, I think it can really do well. My only hope is that it's at a a decent and appropriate price point. That will be the key as to whether or not it succeeds in the new year.
Okay, my 3. Well, I call it a bit of an audible, and yes, that's a sports term. The original play is we pick 3, we answer the question that Craig actually gave us on a private board, and I'm like, wow, they're all G.I. Joe answers. And I'm like, well, you know, this is a toy podcast, they cover all toys, so I want to see, kind of show that I do have a little bit more depth than G.I. Joe. So
you're calling us shallow? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm calling myself shallow because typically I'm just all G.I. Joe all the time, but I'm trying to, I want to show that I have depth just like the rest of everybody else in this program, so.
Gotcha.
Nice try. We'll see if I fail or not, but it's the best of 2011. I called an audible here, but I did still stay within the Joe realm, and that is Snake Eyes version 54, which is the Pursuit of Cobra Snake Eyes, or as often as Chuck likes to call it, the 3¾ sideshow statue that Hasbro gave us. came with two heads. The first head was basically his 82 head. The second head was his vintage version 2 head. The web gear was awesome. Came with, what, three swords, two daggers, two silencers, two pistols, an Uzi machine gun, an assault rifle, and just a ton of gear for a 3¾ figure. Not quite as much gear as we got with the Renegade Storm Shadow, which was going to be my number one, but when I take it back down, we got two definitive figures from Hasbro this year of their character. Storm Shadow was one of that Renegade Storm Shadow, and Snake Eyes was the first of the definitive figures that we really got that generally everyone was happy about. So I'm going to go ahead and call Snake Eyes version 54, which was the Pursuit of Cobra that came out in 2011, as my best figure. The worst figure, I'm not going to necessarily call him the worst, but it kind of goes back to what Greg was saying about McFarlane and their point of articulation. I love their sports figures. I get all their Red Sox figures, but man, they don't do anything. They just sit on a shelf. Not much to play with. They do have the Playmaker series, which was the 3¾ action figure kind of sized sports figures, and those are okay, but even though they kind of have their limitations. But the McFarlane figures look good, but that's what they continue to do, is just look good and really do nothing else. So those are kind of my worst of 2011. Again, branching out into something new instead of saying something Joe. The surprising figure of 2011, I'm going to come back to Joe again and then talk about the Rock Viper, because the Rock Viper only came out once, and this was one of the ones that it was an army builder, and it was this good looking figure, came with a lot of accessories. No real complaints about it. It was it's an army builder, but it's an odd army builder because he's an Alpine trooper. So it's not a lot of, it's not a figure that a lot of people would have, but it's a good figure and I like it. And I'm sadly, just because of kind of what Chuck said about distribution issues of some areas, some of those late waves of Pursuit of Cobra didn't really make its way out in force. So I only managed to get a couple of these guys, and I wish I can get more. So I'll be on the lookout for more Rock Vipers when I'm at JoeCon. What am I looking most forward to toy-wise in 2012? Well, obviously, the G.I. Joe Retaliation toys, that's a given. I'm looking forward to the whole Avenger movie experience as well. So I made no secret that the other line that I do collect when we talk on the show are the Marvel Universe figures. And so and everything that comes with the Avenger the line, I'm looking forward to, and hope that some of the issues that we've had with past figures are going to be fixed, which I doubt. But in terms of just the whole Avenger movie experience about it finally getting here, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to as well. So those are my picks.
Nice. Good call on the Avengers. You're right. I get so kind of mired up in the G.I. Joe world that you forget all this cool stuff that's coming out. And the Avengers is definitely a toy line that I'm really looking forward to in 2012 as well.
Especially if the rumors are true and we'll actually get a decent-sized Quinjet, because that would be
awesome.
Oh,
yeah. No kidding. That would rock. That would rock. I'm going to be so damn broke in 2012.
That's the bottom line. Hasbro's going to be making a lot of money off us, sounds like, so.
And that's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, once again, I'd like to thank Craig for inviting us to be a part of this episode. Craig did, what, 5 or 6 episodes with us? They continue to be some of the best episodes and the most fun we've had on some of the episodes. So we definitely look forward and back. We look for a long run from the Fooshcast. And
let's not forget, Craig actually had one of the top 4 Chuck moments of 2011.
With your sister.
Yes. Out of context. That sounds so wrong. Everybody listening will know what we mean.
Craig lives forever in our soundboard.
That's right.
That with that sound. So, yeah. Sounds such like a girl. But yeah, he lives on as one of the top 4 Chuck moments and on the soundboard, that he will always be with the program.
Love Wooshcast, and I'm sure when he invited us on, he was expecting the 2 girls in 1 cup joke, so we saved that just for you, Craig, so I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm just glad Craig wasn't on right now, because when I mentioned Shin Kenger and the figure arts, I mean, we could have derailed this into like a 45-minute discussion.
Oh, Lord. But I want Craig to talk about more Robotech on the Fooshcast. He hates Robotech. He's like, don't call it Robotech. More Robotech. We demand more Robotech.
He's going to edit that out and put like Macross in
there. You'll hear me, and then all of a sudden it's Macross, you know.
That was brilliant.
Let's get out of here so they can shrink this down for their episode.
Good. So Greg can go to bed.
yeah, I guess it's, we're getting out of here early. It's not quite his bedtime, is it?
He's got to drink his three beers for the year.
Hey, when you download the Fooshcast at iTunes and you liked what you heard, check us out at What's On Joe Mind. Download us at iTunes. Subscribe today. We would enjoy you to listen to our program. You can always talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. So for our showrunner, Greg, our co-host, Justin, and Chuck, I'm Gary, saying to all our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening to this special Fooshcast Year in Review edition of What's On Joe Mind. We are the official podcast of Roll Out Roll Call 3. And now back to those awesome British toy guys, Craig, Stu, Sam, and Nikki. See ya.
We love you, Greg.
All right.